Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper? A woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver. I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hi, villains, and welcome to For the Love of Pomegranate podcast. As I forgot to turn on my light here, that's a small bit better. Well, it's a bit better for me, but it's probably a bit worse for you guys because you can now fully see my illuminated face. But you can also see the lovely training top that I got. I love this new Castor stuff. I'm going to say it. I love it. It's the best training stuff that's been out in donkey's years for Aston Villa. And I said it as well on the Villa View. And that's not just because we were flogging a 30% off code last week. This stuff is really, really good. And I went away and I bought a bounty of it last week. And I must say it's absolutely top quality stuff. But we were just waiting on Paddy. Paddy is going to join us in a moment. And we've kind of been away. You know, podcasts have been sporadic. They've been few and far between over the last 4 to 6 weeks. And, you know, we've obviously covered games and pre-game, team sheet tantrum, post-game stuff, rightly or wrongly. We've gone directly after matches and things like that. And I just wanted, I suppose, first of all, to kind of address that as well. It's just that it's not that we've lost our love for podcasting or anything. It's just myself and Paddy have been extraordinarily busy in work, number one. And number two is I've taken on some extracurricular activities. I'm doing an acting gig at the moment, which is taking up way more time than I thought I was doing, than I thought it would. So, as I say, it's not that we're neglecting the podcast or the podcast is falling to the wayside or anything like that. We will be back with lots more content over the coming weeks, obviously covering any of the games as we can. And as we get close to the World Cup, we will be kind of, I've got an idea for something to do during the World Cup as well that might be interesting for people. I don't know if it's going to come to fruition yet, but we will have content during the World Cup break. And then obviously, you know, January's only around the corner then, which is one of my favorite times of the year. We're back into transfer market stuff. Yeah, you thought you were going to get rid of me for transfer market stuff, but you're not, because that is my favorite time of the year. But yeah, we're going to talk a little bit about Forest and Villa today. An intriguing fixture. I think a fixture that both myself and Paddy, when Forest got promoted, both myself and Paddy mentioned that we would love to go, we have to have gone to this game in Nottingham. We'd gone to this away fixture. It would have been nice to be able to go to, but obviously they screwed the pooch by putting it on a Monday night. I can understand why they put it on Monday night, because there will be lots of eyes on this. Considering that Nottingham Forest, I suppose, have been up and down, more so down, I suppose, over the course of this season so far. Obviously, you've had the drama with Steve Cooper and obviously signing his new contract. And when Paddy jumps on in a moment, we will be discussing that. And also what we have as well is we've got a wonderful little vignette from one of my good mates on the 1865 podcast, Rich Ferreira. is going to be playing that later on. Just giving us a kind of a fan synopsis of Nottingham Forest, what's gone on over the course of the summer, what's been going on over the course of the last couple of weeks and so on. And I think it's important not for us to make our own mind up with regards to it, because I know how pissed off we got when everyone says we were doing a Fulham. And us as fans, obviously, we knew why we had to spend, but people were willfully not understanding it, wanting not to understand why we needed to spend money. And I think I thought long and hard about what the best way to, I suppose, approach that was. And I said, you know what, I might as well get Rich to come on and explain the whole situation to us. Because I think the way that, like, Forest have, there was a lot of eyebrows raised with the amount of players that they did sign, but maybe they didn't need to sign as many players as they did, but they certainly needed to open up the checkbook and sign a decent whack of players, considering the position that they were in last season. Paddy's finally got it up and running again. I'm going to pop him into the stream here. Paddy, how goes it?
Good evening.
Paddy, is that a Galway United jersey?
It sure is.
Why is that? things you don't expect to see. Oh, PC.
Eamon Deasy tribute Galway United shirt from last year. It was a 40th anniversary of Eamon Deasy winning the league with Aston Villa. So, yeah. See, a lot of people ask me if I've calmed down. Yeah, I was calm last week. That was me calm.
You're not that good at lying, Paddy. You're not that good. No, but I think every so often, you know, I think last week's podcast, it was up and it was down, it was every which way, but I think it just showed a level of frustration that, you know, we're kind of seeing things repeat themselves again, and look, those kind of blowouts are okay to have every so often, but I think we're going to look forward towards this match, because this is a game that both myself and Paddy agree that we should, I don't want to say this, I don't want to be, yeah, we get to it in a moment, but this is a game that needs to be looked at through a different lens than the Leeds game, because of the way the Leeds game transpired.
I'm just going to address all the things that I said, because I literally got messages from all over the world asking me, was I okay Sunday and Monday? But as my good friend Kevin that sits in front of me in Villa Park will thankfully say, that's me on a normal day. I'm quite likely during the match to lose my head like that. That's why we would never do a live watch along. Well, I certainly wouldn't. I don't know about you, because the steam comes out of my ears watching matches, especially.
I might.
I know I went all in on Ollie Watkins. I make absolutely no apologies for it. I meant it. I meant every word I said on the podcast. But I put the full blame of how annoyed I was at the feet of Steven Gerrard's press conference after the game. And it just annoyed the shit out of me. And it's still grinding on me. And John Steele, who messaged me during the week with exactly this opening gripe, Gerrard said in the presser that he thinks 24/7 about Villa. Yet, well, he says the kids, I think it's more important than calling them kids, were playing in the Papa John's. He was at Liverpool and Rangers. It did annoy me. It absolutely annoyed me when I saw it, because I knew we were playing in the Papa John's trophy, which I had on my iPad with the Rangers and Liverpool game above it. So, yeah, it annoyed me when he appeared on screen, given the fact that this is these guys, some of them are going to be the future of our club, or possibly the future of our club. That's the one he should be at.
Some of them could be playing left back next Monday night. You know, and I kind of half mean that facetiously, because we can get on to it in a moment, because we are.
Well, I was watching you there before while I was trying to get on. I was watching it on my phone, and what you said about me really wanting to go to this Notts Forest game, I wasn't going to take 2 days off work to go and see you. Yeah. But I think I would have had to bring my boots, Neil.
Well, we were messaging during the week, and I think, Paddy, obviously, outside of Ashley Young, who we would say is the backup right back, but I think you would have been the highest scoring left back to play for Aston Villa this year if you did actually get on the field. I definitely scored more goals in front of the Holt than either of the two current incumbents, I think.
Well, yeah, it is about 4 years since, or at least 3 years since I scored in front of the Holt. But anyway,
the fastest guys, I think Paddy has it on his social media. Go and look at it. It was a penalty. but I've never seen someone run as fast to pick up the ball to put it down on the penalty spot as Paddy did. Is Speedy Gonzalez moment. No, as I say, look, they're the kind of things that you can't take away from anyone. Jesus, you've seen enough people in over your time scoring in front of the whole thing. Hopefully at some stage I'll get the honour to play, to waddle around the field and boot people up in the air in front of the whole thing at some stage. But you never know. Maybe I might get my head on a glancing header at some stage from a corner or something. But I certainly won't be stepping up to take a penalty anyway, because I don't have the best record in penalties. I'm a bit of an Ollie Watkins when it comes to penalties at times. Anyway, actually, I don't even know if Ollie Watkins is a good or bad record of penalties, but it's just in case anybody thinks.
Definitely missed one anyway, if memory serves me correct.
Yeah. Anyway, we're going to talk about Nottingham Forest, but what I'm going to do first, I think, guys, is before we start going in and start giving the gospel according to Neil and Paddy, let's get the actual lowdown on Nottingham Forest from a Nottingham Forest fan. I mentioned it previously. Delighted to have been able to sit down, or to be able to get Rich, should I say, to sit down and give us a little synopsis about what's going on at the City Ground after their promotion. Because, as I say, I don't want to mischaracterise Nottingham Forest. I respect that football club way too much to do this. They're a proper football club. They're a proper football town. It is a proper football club. They've had some, like us, they've had some charlatans over them. They've had some false dawns and so on. It's taken them a long time to get back to the Premier League. And I wanted to get Rich's view on this. You guys may remember Rich. He did a Keenan Davis loan watch with us during the summer as well. So you may be familiar with him. But without further ado, we're going to play a little vignette that Rich did for us explaining the situation at Forest. And what I get you guys to do is just to make sure that you can hear the audio in this video. I might get somebody just to pop a thumbs up or something like that in the comments as well, because I don't want to play this out for 3 or 4 minutes and then realize that there was no audio on it. So here goes nothing. Here's Rich from the 1865 Nottingham Forest podcast to tell us all about the ongoings at the City Ground at this moment in time.
Hi there, I'm Rich Ferraro and I'm the host of 1865, the Nottingham Forest podcast. I've been asked to give you a short explainer of the situation at the City Ground and whether we're really doing a Fulham or maybe a Villa under Dean Smith, you decide. So the things that you know, Forest unexpectedly got promoted in the summer. It's a wonderful day out at Wembley. And despite being rock bottom when Steve Cooper was appointed just over a year ago, they had this meteoric rise in which Cooper established a style of play. He built the confidence of a ragtag team, which included 5 loanees, a few veterans, and a borderline basket case in between the sticks. Now, in truth, we got promoted too early, didn't we? And we're discovering how hard it really is. So of the team that came up, we had some loanees, so Zinchenogle and Lowe were not pursued, rightly or wrongly. Jed Spence had his heart set on Tottenham, where he's played 1 minute of Premier League football against us. And Jimmy Garner was left in limbo at Man United because Erik ten Hag said he wanted to have a look at him, so didn't make him available for transfer, and meant that Forest had to pursue other options in the meantime. Your lad, Keenan Davis, he was really popular, but he did miss half of his loan spell at the City Ground due to injury, which meant the £15 million price tag didn't feel realistic. So we signed Taiwo Awoniyi for £17 million instead. So we had 8 or 9 first-teamers leaving, including our skipper and former Villa loanee, Lewis Graben. And therefore, we didn't have enough players for a team, never mind a 25-man squad. So despite all the publicity about us making 22 signings, there's only one man from last season who was regularly in the squad who's missed out, and Cafu can consider himself really unlucky, actually. So there's 2 problems with all of these signings. Number one, how does the manager make use of all of them? As an example, poor Harry Toffolo, he started the season well at left back, but he's been dispensed with for Renan Lodi, and that's probably unfairly in the opinion of a lot of fans. Julien Biancon must also be wondering what he needs to do to get a game either at centre-half or right-back in a back four. The other question is, are they like-for-like signings? Have we replaced the players we've lost? And the obvious answer is no. So neither Awoniyi nor Emmanuel Dennis can offer the kind of presence and stickability that Big Keenan could. And although Remo Freuler is clearly a class player, it's taken him a while to get used to the Premier League, whereas Jimmy Garner kind of maybe would have been a little bit more acclimatised, albeit at a higher level. And all of this means that Steve Cooper has been struggling to make the best of it. And to be honest, he hasn't helped himself with all of his team selection and tactics. We can only hope that there's not too much pressure from above to play some of those certain signings. I've heard that billionaire owners can be notoriously demanding. The worst thing has been that we had played well, particularly against West Ham and Spurs. But we have got worse as the season's gone on. And there's no real sign of footballing identity. And of course, every time that you lose, confidence ebbs away. So we know that you have your own problems. So our hope for Monday's match is that the show of support for the fans, from the fans rather, for Steve Cooper, is going to galvanise our team, scare the bejesus out of Villa, and also send a message that Cooper does have our backing. He's not been infallible, but this is a guy with a lot of credit in the bank, and he showed last season that he can take this ragtag bunch and make them into someone, a team that's got a real philosophy and a real effectiveness. So that's where we're going with that.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Excellent. And thank you so much to Rich from the 1865 Nottingham Forest.
Isn't there something wonderful about an English accent saying scared to be Jesus out of someone?
Yeah. I was messaging.
That had to be done unintentionally.
Did you just do that because we were Irish? I know. But no, thanks very much to Rich for taking the time to do that today. As I say, he's one of the good guys, and they put on a really, really good podcast there as well, in the 1865 podcast. But look, I suppose it's very easy for everybody to form their own opinions on what's going on at Nottingham Forest, but like, there is always context and underlying bits and pieces to it. And I know, like, as I say, it really irked me the year that we got promoted, to hear people talk about Aston Villa as if they knew what the hell was going on. They didn't have a notion. Not a clue did they have what was going on with Aston Villa Football Club. Not a clue did they have what went on with Aston Villa Football Club for the 18 months prior to that. And it was all just a case of, oh, I've read it. Somebody filled me in for 30 seconds before I went on TV or before I went on the radio. And it's galling when that happens. And as I say, we've been there. So instead of being what I hate, I said I would get Rich to pop on. And what Rich said there, a couple of things there he said about Steve Cooper. That was recorded prior to, was it recorded prior to Steve Cooper getting the contract? I think it was. But actually it was.
Yeah. Did he not mention something about getting behind Steve Cooper there? I don't know. Anyway.
He did, yeah, at the very end. Actually, well, he sent it to me last night, and the contract was only announced this morning, so it must have been recorded beforehand. But yeah. We'll get back to that piece as well. But I think what he mentioned there that kind of sets them apart and sets their situation apart is that Cooper has a lot of credit in the bank. Cooper has, he mentioned a couple of times, they're a ragtag bunch of guys. He's brought them together. He's made something of them. And then all these new incomings has kind of thrown that identity up in a heap, I suppose. And it's his job to get that identity back from the new players that have come in. Which is going to be interesting to see. But it was interesting, as I say, the credit in the bank. And the credit in the bank has been rewarded today with a contract up until 2025. Mm. Paddy, I suppose, first of all, first question to you is, that contract, do you think that that contract that was offered or that was offered and accepted by Steve Cooper today, do you think that has any bearing on our game on Monday?
Short answer is no. I would like to say I'm absolutely delighted for Steve Cooper, because Steve Cooper's one hell of a coach. I don't normally say this, but I was in a room with Steve Cooper as he gave a magnificent, is the only word I can use for a speech at a coaching conference. And he is just, he doesn't come across as that kind of guy on TV. I think he's a little bit reserved in what he says. Sometimes I wish our manager would be a little bit more reserved. But I think in the long run, regardless of how this season ends up for Notts Forest, and I'll put my hand up and say I have the utmost respect for Notts Forest. They are a fantastic football club. Probably haven't been run properly over the years, as Rich alluded to. It has tremendous potential there. It's a huge fan base. Two-time champions of Europe. I think we're back-to-back champions of Europe, are they? That's so. Certainly correct. So I was so looking forward to going to Forest away this year. I really, really wanted it, be it in the home end or the away end, whatever I was going to blag my way in there, I wanted to go to this one. And yeah, I'm delighted for Steve Cooper. I think it gives him a little bit of stability and a little bit of a chance to stamp his mark on this. And it tells me that regardless of what happens, the owners are willing to back him and he's there for the long term. And, you know, there's... Talk about doing a Fulham, doing a Villa, doing Notts Forest, whatever that looks like come the end of the season, do your own thing. There's an awful lot of players in there that need to gel together. That's not going to happen overnight. That's not going to happen by the second week in October. But they're playing lovely football. They're trying to play lovely football, I should say. It will take time for them to come up to speed. I think Monday night is going to come a bit too soon for them to come up to speed. But I do think there's going to be a raucous atmosphere. And, you know, they talk about atmospheres a lot. There's a great atmosphere in the City Ground. It really is a brilliant old-fashioned ground like our own. It's a great place to go and watch football. They're really knowledgeable football people. Really older fan base. Although, when you look around now, there's a lot of young people following them, which is great. So they can build a whole new demographic of fans within Notts Forest. So I know this is not a Nottingham Forest podcast, but you asked the question. So that's my little bit about Nottingham Forest. But I think, regards the manager, I think it's a fantastic move. And it's just put everything to bed.
Selfishly, I was half hoping that he would get the boot because he has got big ties with Steven Gerrard. And I think the club would have been stupid, absolutely stupid, if he did get the boot not to bring him in some capacity into this club. I'm not saying you bring him in and parachute him in as manager, but you bring him into the backroom team because he's a coach first and foremost. And that's what he will tell you himself. I've heard him speak, and obviously not being in a room in a conference or anything like that, but I've heard him speak, and he's in the Championship last season. And this real endearing underlying aspect to him was he spoke about coaching players. He spoke about making players better. He spoke about figuring out how players played and things like that. And you know, when we got on board with the likes of Dean Smith spoke about an ethos and a way that people play, and it surfaced not too long after he joined the club, not too long before he left the club, should I say. A video surfaced of him giving a talk to, I can't remember, was it a business studies class in school or was it a business event? He gave a talk and he alluded to, like, it was just a great talk about how he built the team and so on and so forth. Now he built up players like Rico Henry at Brentford and so on. And Steve Cooper comes across as that type of guy, you know. And look, as I say, it's you can appreciate the guy, but I obviously want to go and put 7 or 8 past him on Monday as well. You know, that's there's that side to it too. Before we start talking about what way teams could line up, we're chock-a-block with segments today, guys. Absolutely chock-a-block with segments. The wonderful AVFC Stato has been back again, and he's given us some really cool statistics that we're going to go through now in a segment we like to call Stato Corner. Just love that entrance music. But Stato Corner is back, guys. And thank you very much to AVFC Stato. I saw him in the comments there once again. The faultlessly brilliant statistical genius that is AVFC Stato. And let's take a little look at some of his wares today. So Aston Villa could go undefeated in 4 consecutive Premier League games on Monday for the first time since December 2020. When Dean Smith won the Premier League Manager of the Month award. It's mad that we're so kind of, that everything is so sandpapery at the moment when we're talking about going 4 games undefeated for the first time in bones of 2 years, you know, but that's just the kind of way that we are at the moment. That's the way that the club is the feeling around the club at the moment. But look, it's an achievement in itself if we were not to lose against
Daniel Farr. Before you move on from this one, the most extraordinary thing is Steven Gerrard could get nominated for Manager of the Month for September, getting a draw out of Man City and beating Southampton, because they were the only 2 games, weren't they?
Yes, correct.
Okay.
Ah, look, and fair enough. Yeah. Take it to the bank. Take it to the bank. You know, you got to take those wins when you get them. Next one is Villa. Aston Villa could keep 3 clean sheets in a row for the first time since February 2022 on Monday night. 3 clean sheets in a row would be nice. It would be very, very nice indeed. No side has lost more games against promoted opponents in Premier League history than Aston Villa. There was always going to be one of those in there. There was always going to be a little if anyone plays Mario
Kart. Why does that not surprise me?
Yeah, there's always one of those blue shells in there if anybody's a Mario Kart fan at any stage that was going to just hit you from behind. Aston Villa have exactly the same points after 8 Premier League games this season as they did after 8 games in the 2019-2020 season. Played 8, won 2, drawn 2, lost 4 in both seasons. That's where we are at the moment. The last time Aston Villa played Nottingham Forest in the Premier League, Jacob Ramsey was not even born.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
That's sinking. That's something. 22 years. 22 years since we played.
Bonkers.
I'm trying to think. 22 years. Yeah, 15. Yeah.
Stop bragging, now. Stop bragging.
Yeah. Aston Villa have only ever lost once in Premier League history against Nottingham Forest. They've played 10, won 5, drawn 4, lost 1. That, if you were to put a gun to my head, I would have said that was false. But it's not. It's absolutely true. So there's some very favourable statistics within this. Do you know what there isn't in this? And if you've seen Stato, we'll probably have a little chuckle at this. I think in all of the statistics that the Stato has sent me, this is the first time he hasn't sent me one that goes something along the lines of Philippe Coutinho has 12 goal involvements against this team from his time in the Premier League. You know, and every time I'm going down through them, I read it and I go, I can't put that in again this week because it doesn't look like it's going to happen anytime, but it's going to come good for him at some stage. I hope it does. And Coutinho hits the ground running on Monday, but obviously this will be the first time Coutinho will have played against Nottingham Forest in the Premier League in his career. So hopefully he sets his own new records against Forest next Monday. So that is a little feature we like to call Stato Corner. Production values off the scales. Paddy, talk to me about this game and I suppose your hopes and dreams and fears with regards to this. And we go back to Nottingham Forest first because we spend an awful lot of time talking about Aston Villa and we will talk about it in a moment. But this Forest team, the Forest team that's been played, I think one of the most surprising things that I've seen so far and I think it's not really that surprising given the fact that I can't pronounce his name, the Nkete Nkete Moussa Niakate and Omar Richards have been injured so far has meant that that Steve Cooper has been playing Scott McKenna and Stephen Cook at the two centre halves. And for me, that's an area that Aston Villa just have to exploit. They just absolutely have to exploit. It's like Steve Cook was on his last legs with Bournemouth in the Premier League when they went down in 2019-2020. You know, so for him to come back and to be playing there now, for me, is an area I think that we should look to exploit. But what have you seen of Nottingham Forest? You mentioned they play good football, or they've tried to play football, should I say, recently. But what have you seen from them in the main?
Well, look, as I said, they try and play good football. It tends to break down quite easily in the final third. That's what I've seen, and they've been caught on the break many times. I've watched a good bit of them this season because the whole project intrigues me. The fact that they've basically bought in a whole new squad. Most recently, I watched Monday night against Leicester, where, by God, it was awful. We thought we were bad against Leeds, not being able to get anything out of it. They couldn't string anything together to even trouble Leicester at all. So, this is gonna go one way or the other. For me, it's gonna be a poor performance from us, and they get something out of it, or we go and spank them. And I hope it's the latter. that I'm expecting. My heart is telling me that we're going to go and spank them, but in the back of my mind is that little man with the hammer that's banging on my head going, cop onto yourself, Paddy. We still, we haven't got this right all season. What reason have I got to believe it's going to happen now? And this will all come down to 7 o'clock on Monday night when we see who he puts out there, because that's the $6 million question for this week. You mentioned the two centre-halves. I think they need to come up against two centre-forwards. That's just my opinion. That could happen if the... Now, I missed this I missed this in the press conference, mainly because my eyes glazed over some of the things that he said in it, and I probably lost a bit of focus, but I missed him saying that. So if it's three at the back, I'd be very surprised if it's not two up top. So we'll just have to wait till 7 o'clock on Monday. But that, you know, we've spoken about this before, and we've kind of said it through gritted teeth on the podcast. I think we both agree that we could do a three at the back and do it very, very well, but not at the moment with the injuries that we have, unfortunately. I think we need Luca Dean and we need Matty Cash in there in order to do it properly, and we need Boubacar Kamara, obviously. But
I think with that, I think the fact that we've got Ndonker in there now gives us an opportunity to play it. I think Ndonker actually would suit three at the back a small bit more, because it would allow us to defend with four. And if you think about it, if it was Mings, Bednar, Akanza, if that was your back three, you'd Ndonker in midfield. People are like, there's going to be literally, if that was the way it was, there would be uproar. But I think it could work. What would have to happen is we would almost nearly have to go and play with one up top, because I think we'd have to be more fluid then through midfield, and we'd have to go with more of a packing in midfield, because he ain't going to drop McGinn. And I think that unless you go about trying out McGinn at left wing back, which mightn't be the strangest thing to say considering he's played left back before. I know I'm joking when I say this. No need to comment in, but. It's one of those things. I can't see him playing this. I cannot see him playing three at the back. I think it was a throwaway comment. I will actually literally, like, my jaw will be on the floor if he plays three at the back.
I don't think he will. I think there was a little bit of hopping the ball going on there.
I think so too.
What's the English phrasing for hop of the ball? That's an Irish thing to say. Can you remember what the give a bit of gamesmanship, maybe letting Cooper think that we might play three at the back. I don't know. I can't see it Monday night either. I really can't.
I can't see it either. But once again, we're going to be talking about, there's going to be no Leon Bailey. So it looks like we're going to have to make those enforced changes up top. Whether Ings does come in there, whether he pushes Watkins wide.
And wide right, says, yes.
Yeah, I think that could be something that happens. But there's going to be a tantrum in that aspect as well. There's going to be uproar, and there's going to be piss and vinegar all over the place, because Emi Buendia would be likely out of the team there. The natural replacement to come in is Emi Buendia. I personally can't see him dropping Watkins. I know that that a lot of people want to see Danny Ings, but I personally don't think Danny Ings can. Well, sorry, I'm not going to say he can't play up top, but I think Watkins would be in there somewhere. I think, and it'll be what if they do play it, it'll be Watkins and Ings up top together. But once again, you know, you see the Buendia will be the fall guy for that. And then there's we're coming away from the game with questions. So there's nothing easy about this team selection. Well, there is easy things about this team selection, but I feel that there won't be anything easy about the discussion we have prior to the game and post the game, because we will still have questions, I think, about this team unless we go out and we have a very comfortable 2-0 win or something like that. But how can anyone be confident about that with Aston Villa at this moment in time?
Well, you can't be, because you just don't know what way we're going to turn up. Unfortunately, we might see a little bit of a bounce from Notts Forest as well, because you've got a bunch of players there who may have felt the manager was on the way out, and all of a sudden there's, oh shit, we'll have to book up our ideas here, because this fella's going nowhere. So there's a load of ways of looking at this, but I think no matter what happens, we should still be getting 3 points out of it. No matter what we put out on the pitch, I think we'd be more organised than them, especially defensively. I just can't see where they're going to get goals from. There's good players there that just aren't functioning properly. Like Jesse Lingard for me isn't functioning properly.
I don't know if he's a good player either.
Well, he has proved in the past that he can do it. He's done it. He did well for West Ham.
He's proven he can do it against us only, I would say, almost exclusively. He's proven he can do it against us.
Yeah, but and then when we're so solid at the back and they're a bit ropey at the back, I think there's only one way this could go. But, you know, we're always a little bit apprehensive when it comes to making predictions like that, because we are Aston Villa and we're likely to fall apart.
Fall apart, indeed. Fall apart, and we're likely to do that. Paddy, if I was to put a gun to your head now, actually, no, you don't like doing predictions, so I'm going to do my prediction. Unless you want it, that is.
I already predicted it. I said that there's nothing to suggest we're not going to win this and win this handy.
I've gone with a 2-0 win, Aston Villa. That's what I would be happy with a 2-0 win, and to be kind of, I'd be happy because we'd score goals, but because it's away from home, and look, if people don't know me at this stage, when it's away from home, if we grind out wins, I think I'm happy with that as well. It's when we play at home and we're looking turgid that is really kind of concerning to me, because we don't really have that home form since people came back into stadia again after the COVID break and so on. We haven't had that home form. And the longer that goes on, the more concerning it gets, because there's a reason they play home and away. You're supposed to be better at home. You're supposed to feel more comfortable there. But if we can't feel comfortable at home, well, then we're shooting ourselves in the foot before we ever go to start the season. So for me, I'd be happy. I think Villa have enough to go, or should have enough to go and win this game. Whether it's 2-0 or 2-1, I don't care. But I think Villa should go and win this game at next Monday night. And I'm not as concerned about the performance in this one as I am about the result, for a lot of reasons.
Yeah, well, I would happily snap your hands off for a scrappy 1-0 win, as long as we're defensively sound. I don't care how the wins come, as long as we're defensively sound and we get the win. That might sound like I'm being hypocritical after last Sunday, but we created the chances last Sunday. We just couldn't score. This one needs to be a win. As I said, it's going to be a raucous atmosphere. The fans love Steve Cooper there, so the fans are going to be up for this Monday night. They also don't have much love for Aston Villa, so that's going to tie into it as well. From here on in, I'm looking at 2 or 3-0. That's the way I'm thinking about this game. This is a huge game for Steven Gerrard for me, because if he was to have a disaster here on Monday night, we then have to play Chelsea the following Sunday.
Yeah,
and that's our home. And if we have a disaster Wednesday night, I can't see how we're going to turn it around to do anything to Chelsea the following week.
And arguably, so, Chelsea did for Dean Smith last year as well, when we went 3 at the back in that game, and we looked okay in the first half, and then Lukaku got, what was it, 3 goals? Did he? Oh well, they won handsome. Yeah. I watched that through a haze of Guinness. A lot of you guys might remember I did the team sheet tantrum from a beer garden.
Mike the Pies, was it?
Mike the Pies in Listowel and County Kerry. Mm-hmm. Fine pub. If anyone's ever in Ireland and you go down around Kerry, go to Listowel and go to Mike the Pies, one of the nicest pubs you'll ever go to. Hashtag not sponsored. Talking about sponsorship, they can sponsor us if they like, exactly. Talking about sponsorship and support and so on, there's a big night going on at Aston Villa today. It's a big night going on at Villa Park. And I wanted to share up here because I was on the Villa View earlier on, and there's a lot of people doing this sleep out of Villa Park. But I wanted to highlight Dan Bardell. Look, it doesn't matter who you support, who you sponsor, who you give the money to, but if anybody is a few pound kicking around there, Dan Bardell is sleeping out in Villa Park. For the AVFC Foundation today, in particular the Villa Kitchen. If you go on to his Twitter, you'll be able to see just giving account there, and you know, whatever you can afford, if you can afford anything at all, please donate to it. It's going to the AVFC Foundation. We've had some wonderful people associated with the podcast who've done some great things for the foundation so far this year. Kieran O'Callaghan, as we know, jumped out of a plane. There's been lots of other people. I remember 2 years ago, some of you guys might know him on Twitter as well. Algy, I never know how to pronounce it. He slept out in his back garden and it pissed rain down on top of him. And I absolutely thoroughly enjoyed following him on social media while he did it. And he raised a ton of money as well. You know, so it's something that's great. It's something the Villa do. And it's something that raises a lot of money for real projects in and around the area as well. Because as we know, the foundation are a real entity. They're a real help to people in need in and around the area. And we see some of the great stuff they do from the point of view of inclusion, from the point of view of everything. I'm not going to list out everything they do for fear that I'm going to forget anything that they do. But one of the things that we can be proud of as fans is our charitable organization inside, within the foundation is rock solid, and long may it continue. So Sleepout's going on there. Of course, Bardell would get a spot beside the bar as well, wouldn't he? He'd have to get one right beside the bar. But yeah, as I say, he's got a fine new sleeping bag there. Well,
we should point out also that this is a serious event and there's absolutely no alcohol on sale or allowed there. So it is a bit of crack that him being at the bar, but that, it's not a jolly up that people can go and drink. Drink themselves into a snooze there. Like this is a serious. Like it's October. It's not summertime. It's a lovely thing to do. Apparently the atmosphere is absolutely great there, and best of luck to everyone involved.
And I think there's a few players going to go down and join them and give them a rousing talk. I think the people who've gone to Villa Park today. If there's anybody here that's watching this, or if anybody watches it afterwards, get in contact. We'd love to know what festivities went on, or not even festivities. You know what I mean? If there was anyone that came down to speak to you. I know Ian Taylor does this every year. I know that there's a couple of players that come down and speak. I know Tyrone Mings did it a year or two ago. I know John McGinn has done it in the past, and I would imagine, excuse me, as captain, John McGinn will probably go down and give a few words today to people there. But great cause, as they say. And I just said I'd highlight it there. There's tons of people doing the sleep out, but every little helps, I suppose, really, for the foundation. So thanks for allowing us to promote that on the podcast here as well. guys, I must say something. I've been struggling for the last couple of days with a small bit of illness, and you might have seen me throw some seriously rotten faces as I've been drinking this pint of pink beside me here. It's Diorolite. It's blackcurrant Diorolite, because I'm trying to get rehydrated because I haven't eaten in about 2 days. My God, is it disgusting. So we've drank some stuff on this podcast before. We've had whiskeys. We've had different types of beers. We've had different types of Guinness and stuff. But nothing has ever tasted as bad as that. So on that note, guys, I'm going to leave because I have to drop the rest of this, and I don't know if I'm going to be able to keep it down. So I'm going to leave the podcast on that. We're going to be back with a team sheet tantrum on Monday at 6:50. 8 o'clock kickoff, 6:50. We'll be back with a team sheet tantrum on Monday. Join in, even if you're in the car and you're trying to get home. It'd be great to have you. We will also be back with a post-match as well on Monday after the game at roughly around 10 o'clock. So stay safe over the weekend, stay healthy. And for anybody who's watching this or listening to this, that's doing the sleep out, stay safe as well, guys. And as I say, hopefully Monday will be a new start, a new dawn for Aston Villa. We can go 4 games unbeaten. We start to score goals, and then hopefully our season kicks on from there. But the proof will be in the pudding. So until then, everybody, up the Villa.
Up the Villa.
Podcast Network.